Today's Fan Run Podcast is brought to you by DraftKings.
The Masters is back, and this week DraftKings has given you 100-1 odds on the golfer if you're choosing to finish in the top 10. If you haven't tried DraftKings, go download the top-rated DraftKings Sportsbook app now and use promo code FANRUN when you sign up to turn $1 into $100 if the golfer if you're choosing finishes in the top 10. That's code FANRUN in all caps to turn $1 into $100 for a limited time and only at DraftKings Sportsbook. Must be 21 or older in Tennessee only. Restrictions apply. See DraftKings.com/sportsbook for details. If you or someone you know has a gambling problem and wants help, call or text the Tennessee Red Line, 1-800-889-9789.
Thanks I get for working overtime.
Overtime!
I'm still a big old think I got a little situation. So listen to me, sister, listen, maybe you can help. I think I give a lot of fathers my consideration. But not for me, and I was send a bit for someone else. A lot of people always seem to just be on vacation. What do I get from it? I don't get anything at all. I'm like a
chess. Welcome into Overtime, Fan Run Radio, Fox Sports, Knoxville. Live from the Fan Run Radio studios, Will Stevens, Tucker Holt, John Fulkerson, and Alex Comas in the studio with you guys. Full squad today, full room, shoulder to shoulder. All four of us here. National championship was settled last night. I don't know why I stuttered through that statement, but it was settled last night. The Baylor Bears are your men's basketball national champions for the 2020-2021 season. Game sucked.
I didn't watch much of it, to be honest with you.
Honestly, like, even though it was a blowout, for me, it was still a good game just because of how well Baylor was playing.
That's
like, it was still entertaining to watch.
Fair. I never turned the game off. I won't pretend like I wasn't watching, but at one point I did have to get John Clayton of the NFL to help me out with DirecTV because my server just went down with 10 minutes left in the second half when Gonzaga thought, you still thought there was a chance Gonzaga could make a run and at least make it a game. I missed that whole 10-minute segment. I came back in the middle of one shining moment. I was very upset. But, told me my location wasn't authorized, and then it rebooted for 15 minutes. I had to tweet at DirecTV and then tweet at John Clayton, and as soon as I added John Clayton, boom, satellite was back up and running. So John Clayton has
powers.
He has incited fear into the AT&T and DirecTV universe.
I can understand it.
I would be terrified if I was AT&T and saw a Hall of Famer tweeting at me like that, and I'm obviously not a Hall of Famer, but I had to write his coattails last night,
right,
to get my TV back on. But no, I didn't get to catch the very ending of the game. Not that upset about it, but it would have made the game a little bit more enjoying to watch that last 10 minutes and kind of, again, have that feeling of maybe Gonzaga could do it, but also watching how dominant Baylor was. They were everywhere, anywhere. I'm not a giant Darren Revelle fan, but he did have a one tweet that was actually decent. The tweet was stupid, actually, but the video was interesting. The tweet was like, if you show any of your kids plays from the national championship game, which has that ever happened to you? Your dad ever walked up to you with a YouTube clip and was like, hey,
no,
look at this sick play from the national championship game last night?
All honesty, if there was a national championship clip to be played, or for me to show my kids, would be Grayson Allen against Wisconsin. Like, just him on the, what was it, the three he missed? No, that was against Michigan State. Never mind.
In the Final Four?
Yeah.
Okay, fair enough. I'm
when he missed the three, got the rebound, and then dunked it.
The only thing I really remember from that tournament was Harrison. It was the year before. He hit two buzzer beaters. The Twins, one of them each, hit a buzzer beater. And then the next year, I just remember the Duke starting five hairstyle that blew up right after that. But the tweet said, Darren Revelle was like, if you show your kids any highlights from last night's game, make sure this is the one you show them. And it was Maceo Teague, the guy who I mentioned last night, who I really think is going to have some shoulder issues come down the stretch because of the way his shot looks. But he dives out of bounds, saves a ball into the Gonzaga bench, turns around, runs back on defense, sprints to the opposite side of the court corner, and contests a three that and he basically forces a miss. Now, you can't say forced a miss because it's not NBA where every guy makes their open threes. Nemhard could have missed a three if Macy Oteague isn't there, but contests a three, puts a hand in the face, and that really described how that game went last night.
Yeah, and that was...
Nemhard was the worst player on the court for Gonzaga last night.
And that was when there was like 6 minutes left, too. Like, the game was over, and he was still playing with that kind of effort. That's a big deal.
Yeah, true.
I mean, he didn't have to. Like,
not to take anything away from Teague. Like, that kind of hustle deserves not to go unnoticed.
You're taking everything away from him. Everything.
No, I think it's – I mean, saying the game was over, I mean, like
probably gives him a little bit more. A little bit more credit.
I mean, like, he was doing it when he didn't really have to.
With 6 minutes left, though, was that when they were down, like, 12?
Something like that. I don't know.
My location wasn't authorized.
Were watching. Yeah.
It may have. Been
I didn't
less
move,
than that.
And my location just for some reason was not authorized.
Folky, did you watch at that point?
Did you watch any of the game last night, or were you too busy watching the Reds win?
I was watching the Reds.
Yeah,
fair enough. Okay,
but
what happened?
But it didn't
last
cover
night?
The whole game.
What do you mean?
They finished like
probably with five minutes left in the first half.
Yeah, exactly. So you had the rest of the game to get to.
Oh, the basketball game was on after the baseball game.
It was.
It came on at 9:20 p.m. Eastern time.
Oh. Huh.
Said that on air multiple times.
So did you just go to bed after the Reds game?
No, I watched another game. I don't remember which one.
I have a question. This is another Will Stevens doesn't understand baseball.
I can't hate it. The guy loves baseball.
this
he likes what he likes.
How was...
You can't knock him for it.
Last night.
Okay.
Was Castellanos playing?
Yes.
Yes. His
he
is suspension.
Why?
His
he's
suspension.
He's appealing the suspension, yeah.
So they don't have to...
appealing the suspension.
When you're appealing a suspension, you could still play.
Okay.
But once, if they decide to...
That breaks
you know,
my brain.
If they reject the appeal, then he is immediately...
suspended.
Yes.
Okay. I just remember
and
last night...
he did hit a drive to deep left last
yes,
night.
Yes, last night. Mm-hmm. I saw that video you posted last night, and I saw it going viral during the game, which I just think is very funny to try to celebrate during a national championship game. It was like Duke tweeted out a Kyrie Irving highlight from 2015 during the national championship game to try to stay relevant. But... I was insanely confused because I was like, oh, okay, this is from last year or a year ago or something. No, there's masks in the stands. It masks everywhere, so it's recent. Okay, this is from earlier in the season. No, they're playing the Pirates. Shh. This is from when I unmuted it to show you the great hit song Venom from the hit movie Venom.
Okay.
But yeah, I was just confused.
Yeah, I understand. But I saw, I mean, I watched it. See, something had happened. And I was watching it, and Castellanos hit a drive to deep left. Mm. And my roommate, who isn't a big baseball fan, was like, "Why does that like sound familiar to me?" And I was like, "Oh!" And then I had to go make the tweet. I just thought it was real. Every time Castellanos hits a home run to left field, I think Tom Brenneman will never live it down.
No. No,
he's getting brought up every. I feel
is
bad.
Castellanos? Oh, go ahead.
I feel bad for Castellanos because he's kind of
attached
linked
to it.
See, that's what I was about to say. That's what I was about to say. Is Castellanos like trying? Like you know, players play better in NFL mainly in contract years, or at least they try to play better in contract years. Is Castellanos now? I'm not very well versed. I know he's a solid player, but I don't think he's had as an explosive offensive start to a season as this one. Especially the Reds haven't.
I don't know. He's had some pretty good offensive years.
Yeah, he's been pretty decent in the last few years.
Okay, then never mind. I'll just forget what I was going to say. If he was,
you think he's trying to get the stink off of
that's what I was going to say. Is he trying to ball out right now to not be attached to Tom Brenneman for the rest of his life?
If that's the reason,
I
hope he continues to play like this.
He's on the Reds because he got a bag from the Reds because he was balling out for the Cubs.
Yeah. Yeah. That was very glad to get him. How long do we have him under contract?
I think it's...
We got him for a
this is
his
second year.
Bit,
I think
right?
he signed a 3 or 4 year contract.
I think it was 4, so...
But to the national championship game, Baylor's 3-point shooting is what really captivated him. I have some baseball things
we'll
I want to talk about
later.
Okay. I mean, there's more basketball. There's no more basketball.
That's true. We gotta close
we have
the page.
A whole summer of off-season fun we can have where baseball and soccer are going to be the only sports we can talk, and we are going to talk soccer on this show.
Let's go.
Thank you, Alex.
We have him till 2024.
Big results today in the Champions League.
Oh yeah!
Results.
Yes, Real Madrid beat Liverpool 3-1.
Are you serious?
No,
Man U
really?
Is playing.
Manchester City was playing Borussia Dortmund.
It's the German team. I can't pronounce the name. Reus scored. Did he score again and tie it up? I know it was 2-1 when he scored.
Reus?
Royce? Sure. German dude with the slick back hair.
Yeah,
he's
Royce.
Pretty good. He was on the cover of FIFA 17.
Royce?
Sure. You should spell it R-O-Y-C-E if you want me to pronounce it right instead of R-E-U-S.
Well, it is a different language, Will.
Sometimes R-O-Y-C-E means hoist.
True.
So, I mean...
Did they win, or was that the only goal scored?
No. Manchester City won 2-1.
Okay, so...
But there was some controversy.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
What?
Yeah.
You can't just say there's controversy and then not talk about the controversy.
Borussia scored a goal, and they said that the attacker did not win the ball fairly or something like that.
They called a penalty on the guy?
No, they just waved off the goal. They disallowed it. They said the attacker won the ball back. I don't know if he won it off the goalkeeper or defender. I didn't exactly see it. I just heard about it, and the referees ruled it disallowed the goal. But Borussia was not happy with that.
Mm. Fair enough. But back to the national championship game again. It's Baylor's 3-point shooting that won them the ball game. I mean, last night we talked about the game. We broke it down, and obviously it's a flip side of the coin. It was a pick'em. Gonzaga was favored 4.5. I think Baylor was going to roll. Like I told you so, and I felt really smart, but I really wasn't confident in that take. I really thought and was hoping for a good game or at least a close game or something. It's not what happened. I ended up being 100% correct because I'm a genius. It's guard play what dominated when you look at the scoring breakdown.
Yeah.
Jared Butler, 22 points, 6 of 14 from the field. And Davion Mitchell, 15 points, 6 of 15 from the field. Macy Oteague, 19 points, 8 of 15 from the field. It's the guard play. Flagger also had 3 of 4 three-pointers. He was 13 points as well. He was 3 of 6 from the field. You didn't really have to rely on too much. The guard play carried you. Not a lot of guys scored on this Baylor team. It wasn't a high – 86 points is a high-scoring affair, but it didn't seem like they were going to score 86 points from the beginning of the game. It looked like they were going to dominate, and it was going to be a 70-something ball game. But scoring picked up at the end.
I don't know. Like, I think the way Baylor started out, it seemed like they were going to get to 80 for sure. Because I mean, they couldn't miss a shot. They went 5 of 5 to start from three.
That's a good point. But it seemed like it was the same people. I didn't think anybody was going to go off for 30 or 40 in this ball game to really carry the team. Like I didn't think they were going to be able to score a ton of points because I didn't think Vital or Thombo was going to go off and 3 and 6. But they did their job on the glass. Vital had 11 rebounds, 8 offensive rebounds, only 3 defensive rebounds, 8 offensive rebounds.
Do you think if Baylor doesn't start off like as hot as they did? Instead of it being a, what was it, like 26-14 at one point? Let's say maybe
9-0 to start?
It was 9-0 to start. Let's see, they went 5 of 5 from 3 to start. They missed like 2 shots from what I can remember in the first 5 minutes. Let's say, you know, they start off well, shooting 60% or so, but to where it's like still manageable for Gonzaga, 8-10-point deficit. Do you think that changes the outcome of the game? Because I felt like Gonzaga played better as the game went on. It's just that they had such of a margin to come back from.
I don't know, man. When you look at the stats, and I know stats most of the time don't tell the whole story, especially when it's two very good teams going against each other. Gonzaga shot 29% from the three-point range. I mean, they were not shooting the ball well from three-point at all in their game against USC or UCLA, and you thought maybe if they could hit a couple more threes, that would transition into something, but they could not shoot the three, 5 of 17 from there. They also missed 6 free throws. You leave 6 points on the board. No matter who you are and what game you win, you want to get all the points you can. 6 points left on the board there is not great. They also got out-rebounded 22-38. Baylor had 22 defensive rebounds. Gonzaga had 22 rebounds total. Baylor had 16 offensive rebounds. Gonzaga had 17 total defensive rebounds. I mean, they just got dominated on the glass, worked every which way there. And then I know this is probably kind of an elevated number, an inflated number when you're talking about them not staying as hot or starting as hot from that field, because Gonzaga also had 14 turnovers to Baylor's 9. Now, a lot of those turnovers were early in the game when Baylor was cooking like that. But the turnovers is what led to them being able to get open shots and hit those shots. Now, you still have to hit those shots nonetheless, but turning the ball over and transitioning to points. I think it was at one point 15 points off turnovers to no points off turnovers for Gonzaga in that first half. I mean, Gonzaga just got worked every which way. And I would have a hard time believing Baylor would lose that game, especially because Baylor has been known as a second half team this season as well. If you look at their games earlier in the tournament against Hartford, they struggled, and you were like, oh, is this going to be the 16 over one seed? All of a sudden, they win by 40 or something like that. Same thing in the Wisconsin game. They started very, very bad from the beginning of the tip, and then the second half, they started getting more of a lead. But I can see where you're coming from. Like, I would love to play a seven-game series of these two teams. That would be fantastic. They're already quarantined. Yep. Make them play. Go ahead. Seven more games.
Yeah. No, I don't know about seven. Maybe like three or five-game series I'd be down for. But
I wouldn't hate that. A best-of-three series once you get to the Final Four.
Yeah. We were talking about it this morning.
Extend the tournament a little bit. Milk some revenue out of there.
Yeah.
Especially if they're already quarantined. You're already in the same spots.
Yeah.
But
that would be a nice little wrinkle to throw in there.
But also risking injury. You don't want to make kids play more games than they have to going into the tournament.
Also,
like IIE getting injured last night, it was a nerve-wracking experience when you're down by that much and you get injured in a championship game. I got worried there. Obviously, he was okay after a while.
I don't know. I think there comes a point, too, with the tournament where it's like, okay, you're kind of stretching it out too much.
That's fair.
You know, because they always talk about expanding it. Mm-hmm. And,
yeah.
But I think it's a little different versus expansion versus what we were talking about of doing a series, because expansion would mean you're putting maybe not as good teams or more teams that are just more bubble and middle of the pack teams in the tournament, where you're still going to have those top teams separate themselves.
It's,
if you're going
to
the Final Four,
you wouldn't be expanding it with doing series. You'd just be stretching it out even longer.
Exactly.
And I don't know. I feel like right now it's fine. And there's certain scenarios, like, this kind of matchup is a matchup you would want to see in a series because these are two great teams. Whereas maybe in previous years, you're not as ecstatic to watch that in a series. Like Texas Tech, Virginia, I don't know. I don't want to watch
five games going to 55 to 50.
Exactly. You wouldn't get as hyped to watch those kind of matchups.
That exact same year, I really wouldn't have wanted to watch Loyola Chicago play. Was it Virginia? No, they played Texas Tech in the Final Four. Auburn and Virginia played in the other one. But I wouldn't want to watch Loyola Chicago and Texas Tech play five times. Like, even if Loyola Chicago wins one of those, I think that team would have lost in the Final Four in a series. I don't know. Obviously, I'm not going to like protest and say I'm not watching the March Madness tournament until they put a series in the Final Four and I want more games. But it would be a nice wrinkle, like you said.
Yeah, that does kind of take away from the Cinderella, though. Like, the whole part, like, a Cinderella has to thrive on catching a team at the right moment, and you just got to beat them once.
But again, this is why I'm saying in the Final Four.
Yeah.
You let it get to that point where it is the best teams, because normally once you get to the Final Four, you've separated yourself from the best teams. The only Cinderella stories I can think of making a Final Four was this year's UCLA team, who's number two in the AP top 25 polls for next season because they're returning everyone. So I don't even know if I consider them a Cinderella story as much as just a bounce back team this year.
Sure.
Loyola Chicago was an 11 seed as well that made the Final Four. I mean, again, when we mentioned them, I don't think they'd win that series.
Yeah,
so,
probably not.
But they didn't win that game anyways. I don't think you see a Cinderella story going to the national championship game.
No, I'm just saying I think it takes away the possibility of a team, a Cinderella team winning in the Final Four to almost zero.
That's fair. That's fair.
Like, I mean, you get a team that's not even supposed to be past the Sweet 16, and, I mean, they can, obviously, but, you know, they're not expected to at all, and then you ask them to beat a team three out of five times.
Now they have to win more than one game.
There's no chance.
Exactly.
Like, I don't think – it doesn't matter who they are.
I said this yesterday, Alex. I want to get your thoughts on it before we hit this break. Talking about the tournament, I had a bad take earlier in the year, earlier in this month about the tournament, saying, and it wasn't really a take as much as it was a question that I just got clowned on for asking, of did all these upsets make the tournament a little bit worse? And I said yesterday, I screamed it, I proclaimed it. I was wrong. We still got the two best teams in the final with all of like the most upsets ever. Was also the first year I think we got like the most anticipated, if you're a college basketball fan, best final of the top two seeds. Did you have any thoughts on how this tournament went? Any COVID-19 things? Anything about this tournament before we get off of it? Because it's finally wrapped up.
Yeah, in regards to the upsets, no, I don't think it devalues the tournament at all. I think it just proves the point. And you saw it last night with Gonzaga. Like, it's going to be really hard to be able to be an undefeated team and go through a tournament and win the national championship to replicate the success of the Indiana and Indiana State teams. I mean, or was it UCLA and Indiana State?
Yeah, like, it was Indiana. Indiana State ended up losing in the national championship game to Magic.
Okay, yeah.
Indiana 76, I believe.
Yeah, so it's going to be hard for us to ever see that happen again, because as time goes on, even though you see like schools stack up on five stars, like in the end they end up losing in the NCAA tournament at some point to some team that they probably shouldn't lose to. And as time goes on, I mean, it just seems like teams are even more competitive, and it's literally you got a fair shot in any game of winning.
And I almost think you remember the upsets more. Like, I think I could rattle off more teams that have upset teams than I could national champions over the past 20 years. I really think, obviously, there's more upsets that happen than national champions in any given year, because you can have two upsets and only one national champion. But I think I could rattle off more upsets. Last question before we hit this break about the national championship. Mark Few does not get it done yet to win a national championship, has only been to two, but has been in the tournament almost every year since 1999 when he took over. Does Mark Few have a shot to get it done again, or was this his only opportunity? Like, you look at his resume as a whole, he's had fantastic teams, but clear and away, this was the best team he's ever had.
Do
you think he has a shot at getting a team this good, or do you think he has a shot at ever winning a national title?
I'm certainly not going to count him out. I mean,
I think he's a good enough coach,
They're about to land the number one player again in Chet Holmgren.
Nope, he's going to suck. You can't be named Chet and be the number one player in anything.
He's 7'2" and has got handles of a guard. Like,
his name is Chet.
Okay. He played with Jalen Suggs in high school.
Fair. Oh, he's from Minnesota? Yeah. Is he Mr. Minnesota this year, I'm assuming?
Probably.
Is UConn getting whoever Paige Becker was friends with in that same high school, too?
Oh, yeah, I don't know. I don't know my women's basketball recruiting. But
fair enough.
Yeah, I'm not going to count out Mark Few. I mean, his tournament success, like, he gets them far.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm certainly not going to say this is his last chance, because you never know how a tournament's going to shake out. Maybe he ends up having an easier path for maybe a less talented team to get through.
Sometimes you don't need your best team to be the team that wins. Sometimes you need a path. I can agree with that. Where is he ranking? Is he a top 15 coach of all time now? Because I think if he wins this national title, he cracks the top 10, in my opinion. But just because he hasn't gotten that one ring, when you've stayed at a job for so long, you're a mid-major and you're building something, you've got to have a ring or something to show for it compared to someone who's coaching at a major program.
All time, I don't know. Certainly within top 20 for sure. But when it comes to current basketball head coaches, honestly, I'd still put him top 5.
I can agree with
that. I just think he's such a talented coach to where he's built Gonzaga into a team that's going to be contending with blue blood seemingly every year.
And almost a blue blood themselves. We'll hit a quick break, come back, talk about a little bit about Scott Drew. I want to discuss his story. There's some parallels that tie into Tennessee basketball as well. We'll be right back. Welcome back in. FanOwned Radio, Fox Sports, Knoxville. Will Stevens, Tucker Holt, John Ferguson, Alex Comas in the studio with you guys live from the FanOwned Radio studios, that is. Man, it would be nice to win a national championship.
Would be pretty cool.
Would be pretty cool. I was talking about how Scott Drew's tenure at Baylor does have a little bit of a tie-in. It's not really that much of a tie-in. He lost 3 first-round games in his 8 tournament appearances, including back-to-back years against Georgia State.
Yeah,
and
I saw you going at him on the
No, it was a bad tweet. It was a bad tweet from me in terms of I was just trying to say that was more of a you don't fire someone after one first-round exit type deal or back-to-back bad first-round exits.
That
was the gist of the tweet. I realized after I tweeted it, oh, I'm just hating on Scott Drew right now.
Yeah, I was like, dang, you just won a natty, dude.
But
like, give him a minute.
The video I quote-tweeted is him calling his shot back in 2003, and then I quote-tweeted that saying, don't forget, Scott Drew has lost in the first round 3 times, including back-to-back years against 2015 Georgia State and 2016 Yale. Those two squads had NBA players. Terry and Prince is one on the squad that lost to Yale.
Yeah, because he taught everybody
how to
rebound.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Like, it's famous press conference, but I mean, those were good teams that lost in opening round games to mid-majors. So a little bit
of a
parallel. It happens. Homie's been there since 2003. Baylor made 4 tournament appearances from the beginning of their team until 2003. He's made 8 tournaments since he's been there in 2003.
Good.
So,
and they were in shambles when
exactly,
he got there.
Exactly. You just got to keep making the tournament. That's what happens. When you make the tournament, then it sets up for a path. That's kind of what me and Alex were just talking about with Mark Few. You can win a tournament with a less talented squad than you've had before. Yeah. All it really matters is the path, who you line up against. And this
lot
year,
of luck.
And this year, Baylor, I mean, they lined up
the best team.
But at the same time, I think they also, I don't want to say got lucky, but they had
pretty solid path.
A solid path. I mean, you look at the teams who they beat Wisconsin, North Carolina, I mean, I was a proponent of saying I would not want to play that 8-9 matchup, but I mean, that 8-9 matchup was probably the weakest one out of all of them. LSU gave Michigan a game. Creighton gave Gonzaga a first half, and who was the 8-9? Loyola beat Illinois. So, I mean, like, I was wrong about that one. Then you look to Villanova, who limps into the Sweet 16. You thought they were going to be playing not Villanova. Like, you thought Villanova was losing the first round. I thought Purdue was going to be in that game, but Villanova was able to beat the Mean Green. Like, you had all these upsets, and that's what happens. That's what has to happen. So, yeah.
Yeah, I was at first I thought you were just coming at his neck. But with that, with your description, your explanation there, I see it was coming from a good place.
Yes,
granted. But
I was heated. DirecTV had just come back on.
Sure, but I will, like, off of that, like, he was in a really good position to where, like, when he came in there, expectations were the ground. Mm-hmm. Like, they were the floor. I mean, you couldn't really get much lower than what Baylor was at the time when he came in there. With all, you know, off-the-court stuff and everything going on, I mean, he really kind of just – you kind of just were okay with losing for a little – like, you know, there was no major expectations right out the gate.
Yes.
So losing in the first round a few times wasn't the end of the world, and he was on a little longer leash than –
But he also didn't lose in the first round in 2005 or 2007.
No,
it was 2015, 2016, and 2012.
But he had already kind of showed you that, hey, you could see the trajectory.
Yes,
of the
100%. I can agree with that.
It wasn't like year three for him. Like, maybe if he loses in the first round, the first 3 years he's in the tournament or whatever, then he's gone.
But then you also have the flip side of that, of Baylor was also now in the tournament his first 3 years after not making anything forever. So there's flip sides
like
of the coin.
You were instantly able to see the difference he made in the program.
Yes.
So we had a bit of a leash.
The gist of my point is you basketball is not football. Basketball is not like a lot of other sports. Basketball is a very fluid sport where things just happen. Like, that's just how things go. I read an article today on ESPN.com, and this kind of ties in, but not really. I just am wanting to talk about it as well.
Okay.
But there was a survey done by ESPN.com where they talked to a bunch of different coaches. They talked to, I believe it was 66% were – no, 22 schools, 66% of the survey, my bad, were non-FBS football-playing schools that they interviewed, and then 12% of the schools were FBS Power 5 program coaches who they interviewed, saying, do you think the NIL, the name, image, likeness bill, would make football less or more competitive? And the Tulane coach, I can't remember his name, who voted, he was one of, I think it was like 70% of coaches voted that it would ruin the competitiveness, which, regardless of what you think is right or wrong on that, the Tulane coach said, the kids who are still going to Alabama are still going to Alabama. The kids who are still going to Southern California are still going to Southern California. The kids who are coming to Tulane are still coming to Tulane. It's the same kind of thing in basketball. Like, the kids who are going to Kentucky are going to Kentucky.
Yes.
But you're also seeing now a more fluid game where Suggs, for example, is the first five-star that Gonzaga's really been able to land in a while. They've had great recruits. They've been able to find the three-star guys like Tennessee has been able to do and develop them into senior players. But you've never really seen them have the number one guy in the nation until this year, and now they have the next number one guy in Chet Holmgren.
Holmgren.
God, that is just the worst. That's the most Gonzaga name ever.
What position does he play?
Point guard. No, he's 7'2". He's center. Yeah.
Okay. Yeah, I knew he was a center before you even said. I remember now that you said he was 7'2", but Chet Holmgren's a center. That guy's.
Chet Holmgren's an SEC quarterback.
Has he got a mustache? Sounds like a mustache guy.
Nope. Pretty sure he has no facial hair.
That's a bummer.
He is, what, 18?
I don't know. Chet Holmgren, I just see a mullet and a stash. and he's dropping...
Matthew Mayer's name should be Chet Holmgren.
And he's dropping
Baylor.
15-10 on your head every night.
Oh, I'm sorry. He's not 7'2". He's 7'1".
Oh, that's a big difference. So I'm glad you cleared
that
up for us. Yeah,
he is a point guard, not a center. My bad.
Yeah. Yeah, that's a... Man... You said he has handles like a point guard, though? Like a guard?
Yeah, let's read his recruiting profile.
Let's go through that.
Let's see. Holmgren is as unique of a prospect as there ever has been in the national recruiting database era.
What a weird kid.
Standing 7 feet tall with phenomenal length, Holmgren is a true game changer on the defensive end with his rim protection. He is the best shot blocker in the country and definitely the best shot blocker I've ever seen in high school basketball.
Ooh.
He additionally is one of the most versatile players in the senior class, and while he fills the stat sheet in multiple categories and is extremely productive, his upside is still immense. He impacts the game in so many areas and plays with a huge chip on his shoulder. Even though his defense is ahead of his offense, he has elite ball skills on the perimeter as he can handle and shoot the ball like a combo guard. Holmgren has the potential to be a generational talent with his unreal long-term tools. Eight months in a college weight training program will serve him well. His upside is clearly in his body as he needs to add weight and get stronger. And you could tell this guy's as skinny as a stick.
Hey.
He's 7 foot tall.
He's there.
But still, he's projected to go round one, top 10, when he's draft eligible, of course. That would be not next year, but the year after.
Mm-hmm.
Well, technically, it'd be next year's draft.
Yes.
But his player comparison, Anthony Davis.
Oh, he is skinny.
Yeah.
Let's not make fun of him for his size.
I'm not making fun of
him. Let's make fun of him for his stupid name, Chet Holmgren. We'll be right back.
All right.
To start, Alex, I will give you the number 6th dude on this list. This guy's decade stats round into 9,256 total yards and 85 total touchdowns. Three NFL running backs have reached 2,100 total yards from scrimmage in three different seasons. One of them you'll meet later. This one did it too. From 2001 to 2003, the Kansas City Chiefs star was unstoppable. He was a first-team All-Pro for three seasons. Who is he? You cannot steal on this one. That's why I did this one.
That's a bummer.
Can I steal?
Sure, if you know it. If there's a Giants running back in here or a Browns running back, we will not be giving them.
As soon as you said Chiefs, I was like, oh, yeah, that's obvious.
What's obvious?
Five. Four.
Jamal Lewis.
That is incorrect.
No.
Folky for the steal.
This is mid-2000s, right? Like yes. 2000 to 2010.
Right around there.
Okay.
Wait, you said it was 2001 to 2003.
Is when he played, yes. Yeah, but that's when he's played. Talking decade in terms of what you would describe mid-2000s as.
Yeah, like the...
Oh, Jamal Charles?
That is incorrect.
Yeah, he was later.
This is if Santonio Holmes was a little bit holier. Who is it?
Priest Holmes?
Priest Holmes.
Electric.
Would you like to go NFL running backs or
sure,
video games?
Yeah, we'll stay there.
Stay
we'll
there. Then. Sounds good. The number one name on this list, one that's probably the first one you thought of, totaled 16,445 total yards and 153 total touchdowns. He set the FBS single game record with 406 yards rushing at TCU and twice led major college football in rushing yards. He's also in the College Football Hall of Fame. San Diego Charger was selected fifth overall in 2001.
Is it LaDainian Tomlinson?
It is LaDainian Tomlinson. Yeah.
I didn't know he went to TCU.
He did not. He went to Oklahoma. He set the game at TCU.
Wait, no.
I think I'm wrong. I think I'm thinking of Adrian Peterson and Damian Thomason did go to TCU. I'm an idiot.
Yeah. Well, that still I
didn't know he went to TCU.
I wasn't old enough to watch LT in college.
Fair enough.
I really didn't, you know, pay attention.
He was drafted in the 01 draft, so
because that's
who playing.
I was thinking of first when you were like number one. I was like, it's gotta be LaDainian Tomlinson. And you said TCU, and I was like, oh, God, I don't know, stupid.
Would you like to stay in?
Try video games out. Let's see what's going on.
Let's see what's popping in there.
Let's see what's
going on in these video games.
What's popping? Brand new whip.
Just hopped in.
Do what?
Sorry, didn't want to finish it. Go ahead. Sorry.
What is the best-selling video game of all time?
Okay.
Video game, not video game franchise. Just video game, the best-selling video game.
So it'd have to be like a specific year if it was like a sports game.
Sure, yes. That's a good example. Okay, I'll give you a hint. It's not just Pokemon, if that's what you're thinking of. Right. You would have to give me a specific like Pokemon DS game or something like that.
Right.
Yeah.
Is that the only... like that?
I mean, I can't really help you. You'll see why I can't really help you. Five.
I'm going to go with like something like Tetris.
It's not a terrible guess, but it is incorrect. Anybody for the steal?
I'm going to go with Mappy.
Alex, for the steal.
Super Mario Smash.
That is incorrect.
Can I guess again?
Are you going to be for real this time?
Pac-Man?
That is incorrect. All not terrible guesses. It is Minecraft, the best-selling video game of all time.
Because
they have so many different platforms. Minecraft is a top five video game of all time. It's amazing.
Mine was block-related.
For nerds.
What?
It's the number one sold.
It is the number one sold.
Mine was block-related.
What'd you guess?
At least. Tetris.
Oh, that was wrong.
You said Mappy.
You know who never downloaded Minecraft? Correct.
Congratulations, dude.
Do you think you're better than us?
You're special.
You think you're better than us?
Think it makes you cool?
Less mature.
You know what really helped? You know what Minecraft really helped me with? And I'm sure it's helping Folky right now? Geology class. You need to learn all the different types of rocks and dirt and sediments.
No, I don't think
I took geology too. Didn't need the help.
I didn't take geology. I had better stuff to do than study stupid rocks.
Yeah, I was busy playing Minecraft.
Jocks for rocks.
The best-selling console is the PlayStation 2, by the way.
Yeah, that, we'll I knew right that. Back. I wish you'd asked me that.
I didn't ask you that. I asked you the other one.
I said I wish you had.
I'm going to throw a ping pong ball at somebody.
Do.
In an accident, call the Knoxville Base Law Offices of G. Turner Howard III. Visit g3helpme.com or you can call them at 865-558-8030. Serving all of East Tennessee with over 20 years of experience, let the G3 team get you the money you deserve. That's G, the number 3, helpme.com. The presenting sponsor of the G3 Help Me Hotline, where Westchester's been patiently waiting. Not waiting patiently, it's the same thing. Westchester, what's up, man?
Guys, I'm throwing the red flag on the trivia.
Throwing a red flag on the trivia?
I am.
A challenge. For what?
Your good question, bad advice on the video game question.
What was the good question and what was the bad advice?
The bad advice was misleading them because you made it sound like it had to be a single title of a specific game. So the list that you're referring to, which I think I know where you got it from, is counting all of the different Minecraft titles across all the different platforms, which are not all just called Minecraft, as one solid number.
It's my fault. I blame usefultrivia.com for that one. That one's on me. I typed in video game trivia and then clicked on the first link and then copy and pasted questions. So that one's on me. I'll fact check them. But the advice you said, was that the advice? Was it just me misleading them? Did I mess up badly?
Well, yeah, because I mean, like, the reason I'm saying you specifically said that was because Pokemon is divided up on most lists by all their different titles, like yes. You specifically said, as well they should be. But there's very few editions of Minecraft that are just called Minecraft, even though it's on different platforms.
It's fair.
So,
what's your favorite video game of all time?
The original Legend of Zelda.
Fair.
Classic.
Favorite console?
Classic.
NES. No, scratch that. Super Nintendo, I apologize.
It's okay.
Super Nintendo was pretty cool. Had one of my grandparents' house.
Sick. I played the Atari.
Maybe you guys are have a little better work ethic than I do sometimes. I doubt it because you're all younger.
Yes.
But,
that's a good guess.
What was the first video game you called out of work to play?
First video game, I laid out of school. Like, this is going to show my age because I'm very young. I laid out of school my sophomore year because I claimed to be sick to stay home and play GTA 5 all day.
I had a couple of
drinks. That shows my age.
I
begged my mother to take me to pick it up at midnight. I failed miserably, so I pretended to be sick the next day. She went and picked it up for me to make me feel better. See, I was healthy as a horse.
There you go.
That's a fantastic scene. I don't think I've ever called out of work to play a video game. I've definitely like faked being sick and then played video games, but my reason wasn't to play the video games. It was to not go to school. I have been I've been suspended for playing too many video games in class. When Fortnite Mobile came out, I was insanely addicted, insanely good at the game. So I would get kicked out of class for playing that. So that would fall in that category. But whenever I stayed home from school, I would play video games, but it was mainly missing school. Not playing video games.
You never made the decision to call it or to. Yeah, I guess what you mean. I never played Fortnite, but I don't know if I would like it or not. Honestly,
you would hate it. The game. The kids are too good at it. I played it when it first came out, when nobody was doing the just insane, impossible stuff.
The building is gone out.
I went back last week, and my buddies, you know, they went back and started playing it as well. I went back this past week. Tried to play it again. It's a completely different game. These 9-year-olds are too good at it. It's not fun. I hate it.
If I can't play it as an offline single player, I don't want to play it.
I understand.
That's kind of showing my age a little bit, but that's just the way I am.
I understand that. Sure.
I asked you that because my first one was Resident Evil 4. That was the best game I played in a long, long time.
I wasn't allowed. I wasn't allowed to play those games. They were too scary for me. According to my mom.
Yeah. Okay. No. Hey, that's all right. I wasn't allowed to get a Call of Duty game until Call of Duty Black Ops 2 when I went to high school. That's the first rated M game I got.
Once it finally got bad, like the originals were not that bad.
What? No, Black Ops 2 was the last good one, and then it just went downhill from there.
Last
yeah.
good one.
Well, when I say bad, I mean as far as I'm sorry. Like the original Call of Duty, like the WW2 ones were. I enjoyed those more, but I'm saying as far as violence and all that, it wasn't as violent as they are now.
No, mm-hmm. not at all.
Let's see. The first, yeah, I remember we found out the blood code in Mortal Kombat. So. Like yep. I said, I'm a little older than you guys, but...
No, I know about that, too. I remember, like, I had older cousins who were big Mortal Kombat guys, so I know a little bit about those games.
Yeah, I remember watching that one jerk stand at their arcade for an hour on his first quarter, just challenging people.
Wow.
Yeah, it's, those...
The glory days of video games.
That's actually, I didn't even think about the arcade industry. I wonder how the arcade industry is doing this year.
Probably not as good.
No. I haven't been to an arcade in, like, 10 years, it seems like.
I love a good arcade.
The only one in town worth going to, and I don't even know if they're still doing their video games right now. Sorry, non-sponsor, but not a sponsor of a competitor either.
It'll be all right.
We'll bleep it out in the podcast.
Token out at, by the Big Lots and Seven Oaks and way out there off of about my way, just past Cedar Bluff off of Kingston Pike.
I've been there a few times.
Is it fire?
Heavy Funky?
Is it fire?
Yeah.
Okay.
They got Mappy?
They don't have Mappy now.
Your favorite video game of all time.
I know, they don't have it, but it's still
They have more
good.
Pinball than anywhere else in town. So.
I'm a huge pinball guy.
We might need to start doing arcade reviews.
Pinball rocks. I would be into that. I would be into doing arcade reviews.
That, Westchester, you might have just given us some content for
there
the offseason.
There is a, do you guys have a an arcade game that you've mastered? Because I have one that I hit the jackpot on it at an 80% clip.
I'm actually on the Wall of Fame for the Simpsons game at Token.
Hit and Run, is that what it is?
No, the original one.
Oh, the original one, okay. Pretty good. Mine is, do you guys know it's a newer arcade game where it has the little barrels that go in a circle and you got to hit the button to drop the balls into them?
Yeah.
Yeah? I can hit that at like an 85% clip. I went to three different arcades at the beach one year and the same day, and got 1,000 tickets from each machine.
Pretty impressive.
In one day. Pretty good at it. I've mastered that one. That's my only claim.
Yeah, I don't think I've mastered anything. My arcade thing is Pop Shot for basketball.
No one's going to beat me. I own the record. Right. I own the record at the Turkey Creek. I haven't been in 5 years to check it, but I owned the record 5 years ago on the Turkey Creek.
You think that's still holding on?
Doubt it. They probably got new Pop Shot machines by then.
Probably.
I was a king at the FIFA where you kicked it and you had to score on the goalie and then throwing into the circles as well. The sports games were my cup of tea. I will say 2007, Pizza Hut, Tabletop, Galactica, and Pac-Man.
Galaga?
Yeah. What did I say?
Galactica.
Same thing.
Same thing. We knew what you meant.
Let's just, you got anything else for us other than this video game talk?
I mean, you got anything better to talk about?
No, man. It's the off season. There's no more basketball.
Baseball. We're about to get into baseball.
Yeah, the Vols are going to get a home sweep this weekend, I hope. And,
oh, yeah.
I don't hope. I know. And it'll be another good weekend to be a Vitello fan. And I hate that you guys can't join us. When we you can, but you can't show up for practice because I don't know if you know this or not, but you know we're trying to form the dog pound back on the drive and be allowed into the stadium, and I'm trying to convince Russell, since I'm the only listener that's a original member of the dog pound, that I need to be the leader and the coach, and
we're gonna have
practices on Tuesdays and Thursdays after the drive, but you know we'll have to work something out for you guys, so. Right.
I appreciate you trying to work something out. I would like to just go ahead and say I was the senior student section leader at Farragut High School, so I know what student sections are about. I know what makes them up. I know how to get someone riled up. I know trash talk like it's the back of my hand. I know insults. I've had them thrown at me. I know what they are. I can do them.
I think
overtime would be a great addition to that dog pound.
All right. Well, we'll definitely throw in the consideration.
That's what we like.
See what happens.
Sounds good.
Guys, have a good show.
Appreciate the call.
Appreciate it, man.
Braves tied up going into the bottom of ninth, 5-5 against the Nationals. Talking baseball. Oh, I might get my hair cut this year for Tony V and the boys. Not even think about that. Maybe a trip to Omaha in the forecast.
Let's pump the brakes. Pump the brakes.
Yeah. Let's
relax.
The two sports that I said we're probably going to suck at the beginning of the season, we ended up not doing great and having disappointing seasons. Maybe if I say, hey, we're going to win the national championship, I might manifest that too. Just saying.
So it's your fault.
No, he's saying
that. So you are to blame.
Yeah, I just dry stitched myself.
I was going to say, huh? What?
I got to get out of here.
We can point the finger? Because I'm fine with pointing the finger at Will.
I didn't think about it from the flip perspective.
That's the best you can do? That's the best you can do. 3-7.
6-4 was the floor.
First round. Like, God.
Scott Drew's had 3 first round exits.
Yeah. No. Couldn't have been a little more positive at the beginning of the year. Had to be all Debbie
Downer.
Sorry,
I was right instead of being positive.
No,
my bad.
No.
My bad.
If it's C.
Do you think I have the power to manifest that? Because then you have to admit that I'm always right.
It's what you're claiming.
I mean. You guys, we were talking about it earlier. Folky, every time I say something that's factually correct, Folky undermines me by saying it's incorrect, and then y'all believe
that's
the person
true.
Who has an honest faith. I mean, he did it. He just did it.
No, I know. He's right.
Yeah. Look at his face.
I'm going to throw this ping pong ball again.
It's just not true, Will.
Folky's got a
trusting
face. I wrote
the trivia today that just sponsored one of the greatest phone calls we've ever had on the show. We just got invited to a baseball game to be part of the dog pound.
He said that you did the trivia poorly.
He did say
but
he did
it sponsored
it
the call, did it not? Did it not? Right. Did he not call in
sure.
because of trivia?
Sure. Sure.
He called to tell you to do a better job.
I would like to point out, I looked up the list of best-selling video games of all time, mm-hmm. and when it came to all the guesses, I was closest.
You were closest with Tetris.
Cool, bro.
It is third.
I got some more questions to round out the rest of the segment.
Get you any points?
No, but I'm just saying I'm better than you guys.
In the original arcade version of Donkey Kong, what was the character that would later be known as Mario's name in the original game? So he was later known as Mario. He would become Mario. He was known in the beginning. Go ahead.
It was Jumpman?
It was Jumpman associated. Yeah. I was going to mention it's associated Jordan. With Air Jordan. Yes, Jumpman was Mario's original name. What's the best-selling handheld gaming system to date?
PSP.
That is...
No, it would be the Game Boy.
You're close.
Advance.
Nope, it is
Game
not.
Game Boy Color.
Nope, it's not a Game Boy. It's from
DS.
The same.
Nintendo
it is
DS.
A Nintendo DS.
Gotcha.
Is the number one.
Yeah, everybody had a DS.
What was the first video game character to have a balloon float featured in the Macy's Thanksgiving Day Parade?
Mario.
Pikachu.
Both of you are incorrect.
Mm. No, it's Donkey Kong.
Yoshi.
Big
no,
speed it... guy.
Sonic.
Sonic.
Sonic. The Hedgehog.
Sonic the Hedgehog had his first one. What was the most expensive video game to make to date?
I'm going to go with Elder Scrolls 6 Skyrim.
Incorrect.
I feel like that game would have cost a lot of money.
It is a free roam game.
GTA 5.
It's GTA 5. Yeah, GTA 5 true. Was the that's most true. Expensive. Call of Duty Modern Warfare 2 got an honorable mention, apparently. Oh, here's an interesting one. We're talking about arcades. What popular dining franchise is founded by also the founder of Atari?
What restaurant?
Dining franchise's founder of the Atari is also responsible for this dining franchise.
Do we have them here?
Yep.
Okay.
I guarantee you we've all had a birthday party at one of these.
Chuck E. Cheese.
It's a Chuck E. Cheese, the Atari founder also is connected
never
with
never had
founding.
A birthday party.
You've never, never
had
a birthday?
Chuck
never?
I was going to say, oh my God, you poor man.
You're not the youngest on the show anymore. Alex is zero.
No.
He's never had a birthday.
Birthday party.
Alex is born on a leap year.
Man. One birthday party. I've only had a few in my life.
Yeah, me
one
too.
It was not at Chuck E. Cheese. It was at Incredible Pizza.
All right. Was that a Jersey thing? Where's that? Or Memphis?
No, it's in Memphis.
Okay. How was the pizza?
I think when they originally opened, it was good. But I can tell
never
you...
Never incredible?
I can tell you when I went back about 10 years later as a camp counselor, it just didn't hit the same way. So...
Yeah, I couldn't give you a single thing about Chuck E. Cheese pizza. I don't like
the Shane Dawson thing is the only thing you can think of. The YouTuber who did the video of them reusing slices. I don't remember.
I don't know.
The dude who got in trouble for
I know who that is.
Oh, okay.
I just don't know the video you're referring to.
Never mind.
Okay.
Last question. What United States president was asked and declined to voice an in-game president in Fallout 3?
I'm going to go with George W. Bush.
He's incorrect.
Bill Clinton.
Bill Clinton is correct.
Yeah.
I wonder what they would be having him say. probably some things about Fallout 3.
Probably.
I was going to try to think of something to say in a Bill Clinton voice.
Falling out of office.
But the only thing I can do in a Bill Clinton impression is just Hillary. Hey, Hillary.
I got a joke.
Okay.
What's the joke?
Someone's like, "Hey, Fallout 3, kids shouldn't be playing this." And then Bill Clinton comes in and goes, "It depends on what your definition of kids is." Like,
yeah,
definition of is.
Yes.
It's like the definition of kids is like on E, it can be a kid is like 10 and up, but then there's also the E 10 and up, and then there's also teen, which like right. What's your definition of kid there? And then sure. Mature, you have to be over 18, but who's playing video games at the age of over 18?
Exactly.
Not me.
Yeah.
I don't get it.
Me neither.
I'll explain
two
it
thumbs
during the
down.
Break.
All the thumbs down.
So two.
Two thumbs down.
Guns and money. Dad, get me out of this.
Hour two overtime rolling right along live from the FanRun Radio studios. Will Stevens, Tucker Holt, John Fulgerson, Alex Comas with you guys today. March Madness might be over, but you know what's not over?
It is over.
No.
March Madness is over.
I know, that's what I just said, but I said you know what's not over.
What's not over?
I said March Madness is over, but you know what's not over?
No, you said it might be over.
Nope, I said... ping pong ball. That made me mad. Anyways.
Well, it's not over.
You didn't hit me.
Starch Madness is not over. Still live at Crown Cleaners. Whoa. Right now, you can go check out the fanonradio.com website. Click on the Crown Cleaners logo, and you can get the coupon. Again, yeah, you just got to print that coupon out, stick it in with your shirts before they're picked up, or just show it to them on your phone when you take your laundry to any of their two locations on Bearden Hill or North Shore Drive. You can also schedule free pickup and delivery online at crowncleaners.com. Support Fan Radio by supporting our locally owned sponsors. Starch Madness, brought to you by Crown Cleaners, Knoxville's top choice for dry cleaning. Over 50 years, Starch Madness is back. You can bring in three dress shirts and get the fourth laundered for free. Go check out FanRadio.com. Click on that Starch Madness logo. Everything you need to get that coupon will be right there. You can print it off, stick it in with your shirts, or just show them your phone when you get to the door. Guys, I got a few headlines I wanted to bang out real quick. I like these headlines. I was reading these, and They struck me as weird, as out there, as wild. And I wanted to run them by y'all, see what we think about them.
Okay.
First headline. Harry and Meghan set their first series at Netflix.
Of course.
The very, very viral interview with Oprah a few weeks ago with Harry and Meghan, the Duke and Duchess of Success. I don't think that's how you pronounce that, but I'm not going to try to...
Sussex?
Yeah, I didn't want to accidentally say sex on air.
Right.
Have announced their first Netflix project after signing.
You were good with Bang It Out earlier.
You were.
What's so bad about Bang It Out?
Okay. Go ahead. Let's keep moving.
Yeah.
Okay, well, now I'm confused. But after signing a production deal last year, Heart of Evictus, a docuseries from Harry and Meghan's production company, Archwell Productions, will follow a, quote, group of extraordinary competitors from around the globe, all service members who have suffered life-changing injuries or illness on their road to Evictus Games, the HGUE, Hog 2020, now set to take place in 2022. Netflix said on Monday, Prince Harry, who was a military veteran, founded Evictus Games in 2015. The event provides athletic events for people who have been injured in the act of service. The real breaking news is just that Harry will appear on camera. He won't be like a behind-the-scenes dude. It's not just a money thing. He will be part of the show and the performance and everything. So I know there was a reason other than just this for doing that Oprah interview.
Right.
But this is pretty well-timed, don't you think?
Well, yeah. I mean, this has kind of been obvious it was coming since they moved over here.
A Netflix show?
Yeah, something like that. I mean, like, they were going to do something.
Mm-hmm.
So, yeah, I'm not shocked at all.
We'll probably get American citizenship. That was probably the first thing they were going to do.
Sure. Probably not too hard
and then
for
the second,
like them.
On their to-do list, it was get American citizenship, make a Netflix series. So check and check.
Check, check.
I'm assuming the first one's checked, hopefully.
Yeah, probably.
But it don't matter.
It don't matter.
We know where they come from.
Yeah.
And we can put him back in that castle and lock the door like a Tangled episode.
Will the people in the castle take him back? They seem to have kind of burned some bridges here. I don't think you can just go, sorry, our bad. Like, we didn't mean to trash everybody on the, you know, in the...
We didn't mean to tell the truth about your racist actions?
Sure. I mean, yeah, I'm not saying they were wrong
for it. Yeah, no, I got you,
I'm
got
just
you.
Saying, I don't think everybody back at the castle is going to be like, no, it's
open
cool.
arms, yeah. I got you. No, that's fair.
Cool.
That's fair. That's fair. So. Some more European news.
Okay.
Dutch police.
The Dutch?
Arrest suspect in theft of Van Gogh and Frans Hals paintings. Felt like I was living in the year 1800. Paint thieves out here.
Yeah, but those paintings worth a lot. Worth a lot.
The Van Gogh is worth up to $6.6 million.
Yep, doesn't shock me one bit.
The Hals painting's been valued at $18 million.
If you can pull it off, it's a good move.
Yeah, and the 58-year-old man could not pull it off. He was arrested in Netherlands for allegedly swiping two paintings by Dutch masters Van Gogh and Frans Hals from museums shuttered by the coronavirus. So I'm assuming they were closed and the dude just slid in while they were closed. Under the way. Oh, we could do that with arcades. Go break into the arcades, steal all the quarters that have been sitting there for a while.
Yeah, we could come out with like $25.
That's what I'm saying.
That'd be pretty cool.
That's what I'm saying. But yeah, police spokeswoman Marin Wonder announced on video Tuesday that the man was arrested in Barn, 25 miles southeast of Amsterdam. I'm not even going to try to explain that, but it was the Van Gogh's Parsonage Garden at Nuenen in Spring and Hall's Two Laughing Boys. Two very, very valuable paintings were finally recovered.
Good. Those are a piece of history. You can't be stealing those.
When I saw that headline, I was like, is this 1945? Paint thieves are big now?
I mean, they only get more valuable as time goes on.
That's
so
a fair
actually,
point.
It would be a better move to try and steal one now than it would be in the 1800s.
Or, actually, I think it would be a better move to steal them early and then hold on to the value.
Sure, but they would if they stole in the 1800s, they would be dead now.
Good point. Maybe. Nope, you got a point there.
Also, someone born today didn't really have the option to steal it back then, so they kind of got to work with what they're dealt with.
Got a point there.
Yeah. But I'm not saying I wouldn't have been, you know, upset if my great-grandfather had stolen a Van Gogh painting and I found it in the attic.
I'm just thinking, like,
got
time
to sell it for a cool $7
time mil. Travel. I mean, did you see where the scientists announced that, like, there's a new thing of matter or physics or something that it's going to make maybe time travel possible?
What is it?
I don't know. I don't have an article in front of me. This is just genuinely something I remember seeing like a month ago. There, but people were talking about new math, and they were like, they just discovered new physics.
Hmm.
And apparently it's supposed to question everything we know about quantum leaps and stuff.
Is he talking about the thing that it's like it can bend gravity?
Sure.
And
I don't know.
That Bob Lazar like discovered at Area S4 in New Mexico. That's probably what he's talking about.
You got way more sciencey than I was expecting you to. Let's go over to the G3 Help Me Hotline again, where we have Matthew, who's been waiting patiently. Matthew, long time, no talkie. What's up, man?
What's going on, guys? I actually want to stay on for a couple minutes and have this open discussion. So we obviously have seen the baseball teams having a really good, successful season, and it's pushing out, you know, really good fan base numbers, and it looks like we're going to have a good season. But I started thinking about this. We can all agree, even though the football program is absolutely just a dumpster fire right now.
100%.
But the school itself, the fan base, we reflect as a football school. And so my question to you guys is, what would it take to actually flip the script and become either a basketball school or a baseball school? Because those two programs I mentioned just recently are the most winningest programs we have on campus right now, and I still think they don't get enough respect that they deserve. And I'm just having an honest, open-ended conversation with you guys, because how many times have we thought, oh man, like, can't wait for football season, can't wait to watch a spring game? I mean, we grew up that way as kids, like with football, like ready to watch the Eric Ainges, the Casey Clawsons. Those guys, I mean, I'm 28 years old. I'm a little bit older than you and Folky and Alex and all those guys, but maybe so for you, Tucker, but, like, I don't know what it would take, but I'm almost to the point where it's like, I just don't think the baseball team and basketball team get enough credit for what they're doing right now. And for some reason, we're still clinging on to this hope that we'll get the football team eventually good. I mean, I'm going to cheer for the team moving forward, but I wish that there was a chance. And I'm just curious what you guys think. What would it take to flip the narrative and start saying, hey, we're a baseball school, or hey, we're a basketball school?
I don't know if it's actually possible. I don't think you have to pivot completely. I think this school will always be a football school regardless of how bad we are. There's just a love for the program, and I don't think we're going to be bad forever. We have a stadium that holds 102,000 people. That's a big draw. People love to go get in Neyland and just raise hell. But I think with the basketball and the baseball program, and if you look at it the past, you know, 4 or 5 years, I think they're getting more love recently than they ever have been. I don't think they'll ever eclipse football, but I think both of those programs are growing immensely.
I think it's just resources. I mean, Lindsey Nelson is
pretty small.
Yeah, and we're now just now seeing the tweets of the build it if you will, then they will come,
yes,
type deal tweets of finally getting everything in action. But also, you mentioned Neyland Stadium. It's just that it's Neyland Stadium. It's the,
yes,
history. It's everything attached to it. I think you got to win something of merit. Having solid seasons and burning out in the NCAA tournament, or having solid seasons and getting COVID to cancel all sports, doesn't help that either. But you got to win something. And obviously, Tennessee baseball and basketball seem like they're building something here, and it might actually happen before you think it will, of us becoming a baseball or basketball school. But I really think you have to be able to hang a banner or something of merit that people can look back on, because everything is tradition. Tennessee football has things that you can look back on. You have national championships, you have banners, you have Hall of Fame players, you have NFL players, you have guys whose jersey numbers are retired at your stadium. You don't really have a lot of that for baseball or basketball as much as you have anything else. So I think you got to win something of merit, and maybe just one number one guy like Todd Helton. When was the last time we had a prospect as good as Todd Helton come through Tennessee baseball system? We haven't really had a number one guy like that since then.
Give Crochet a couple years and he'll be pretty good.
Nick Senzel.
And Max Ferguson is going to be a top 10 pick as well. But as someone who came into the fantasy or to Tennessee fan base as an outsider, because like I didn't grow up a Tennessee fan like you guys did.
Explains a lot.
That, honestly, I don't think it's something that changes, because I feel like within the SEC, like this is college football country.
Yes.
Like every school prides college football first and foremost over baseball and basketball. So unless you ring off like a series of national championships in one sport, I don't think that ever changes, because people are still going to, like, it's just the majority of people are still going to hold football near and dear to their heart more so than baseball and basketball. And like, look at Florida. Like, they've had more success winning national titles in basketball and baseball in recent years than football, and they're still a football school.
Doesn't even matter.
Like, I just don't think that changes with not just Tennessee, and as far as every team in the SEC except for Vanderbilt, they're always going to be a football school first.
I can agree with that, because it's kind of like teams who have identities for a given year or a given time. When you think of the Golden State Warriors, you automatically think about three-point shooting. But if you watch Golden State Warriors play this year, it's not straight three-point shooting.
No.
You think of certain teams that are just that fast players or fast teams, teams like that. You think of Georgia Tech, you think triple option, even though they don't run the triple option anymore. Like, teams like that that have identities, that have traditions tied into them, it's very hard to get away from that for people who have, like myself, who have dumb brains, who just kind of take everything at face value type deal.
Yeah.
But I think – go ahead.
No, you're good, Tucker. I'll wrap it up with this, because I love to end a conversation with a classic would you rather. I'm still going to support the football team, obviously VFL. But I think for me, maybe I'm a little discolored, because when obviously the basketball season didn't go as planned, people started joking about when Roy Williams retired that, oh, I hope, you know, Rick Barnes gets the job. It's like, guys, you realize that we need him to keep doing what he's doing recruiting-wise so that we can compete with these blue bloods and these guys. I understand the idea that he's paid the fifth highest in the country and you expect national championships, but we're not a blue blood yet. We're just not. And so for me, it's just holding on to that idea that we're going to, you know, eventually be turned into like a blue blood maybe one day, but that's just me. But final thought here, would you rather be elite? When I say elite, like championship year in and year out is the goal at one major sport, or pretty good at all three baseball, basketball, football pretty good is you're getting to a bowl, you're getting to the tournament, you're getting to the Omaha, but you're not winning it. Elite at one program or pretty good at all three, and I'll hang up and listen. Thanks, guys.
Appreciate the call, Matthew. Before I get into the would you rather, just to address it, I 100% agree with his points about Rick Barnes. We had the discussion earlier when the news of Roy Williams retiring broke, and we talked about Rick Barnes and everything. And again, when you look at the two teams that played in the national championship game, and this is kind of apples to oranges, but it's still college basketball. These two guys have been building these programs for a while. They started at bottom and they work their way up, and now you see these two teams competing for national championships, and they probably would have been competing last year against each other if the tournament gets played, because they were two of the top teams last year as well. They have to have time to build. Basketball is not football, where if you don't see it in 3 years, you got to get them out of there. Other things you can see, like the recruiting process, like different things like that, and then it's just all about hitting the shots. Obviously, no pun intended on just hitting your shots in basketball, but taking your shots and hitting them when you're in the tournament and have an open path. Taking your shots and winning it when you're in the SEC tournament and have an open path. Knocking off a blue blood every now and then. Sweeping Kentucky in a season series. Little things like that that you can build up on. Having guys go to the NBA. Keon Johnson being a lottery pick. Like, those things will build up and start adding more and more to this Tennessee brand. I don't know if I agree fully with the becoming a blue blood, because I think that is a hard process. Michigan State is the only team that's really been able to do it. UCLA has kind of fallen out of the blue blood status, along with Indiana, who are now trying to return to prominence. But Michigan State isn't even, if you Google the blue bloods in college basketball, they're not even technically included in that. So I don't know if I would go as far as saying perhaps becoming a blue blood, but I can see us becoming the number one team in the SEC year in and year out, with the exception of every person who just watches the blue bloods picking Kentucky. But like Tennessee and Kentucky being the two names that are always talked about in the SEC, I can see that happening. I can see us establishing ourselves with those teams. I just don't think you become a blue blood. I think that's a whole nother. I think you got to apply for a loan and a permit and all of that stuff before you get into
it. It's a complicated process.
Now, with the would you rather, I'll let you handle this one, because my choice is I just want to be good at basketball, and I'm fine with that. Sure. Win 9 national championships in a row, run the tournament. That's all I could ever hope for. I'm fine with no football. But at the same time, I would still want to watch football. So I'll let y'all handle that, because my answer would be stupid and I would just sound dumb talking. Go ahead.
I'm burned down basketball and baseball. I don't care. If we're elite and we're winning national championships, I don't care. I don't care. We don't have to have another sport on campus. If we're winning natties in football, I'm fine. I'll find something else to do the rest of the year. That's it. Football is number one in my eyes. I don't care how much we've sucked the past 10 years. Always number one. Give me natties, or give me death.
Let me rephrase his question to make it just a little bit more challenging.
Sure.
Well, who said I was going to agree with you guys?
Fair. I just want to see what Tucker says about this. You get that option. We're dominating in football. Year in and year out, we're in the playoff. Maybe not winning every single national championship.
That would get boring.
But we're in the playoff every year.
Right.
You never get to go to another game, and you only get to watch one quarter of every game.
What does that even...
What are the circumstances?
What kind of rules are those?
Just don't...
So,
don't in hitches.
Okay, guys, here we go.
You can't watch the games. How about that?
You are.
You gotta watch from.
You
from
can.
Grade
you can. You can be a fan. You can. You can wear the national championship gear.
Right.
You can celebrate. Uh-huh. You can go to the parades. You cannot watch a single snap of football
in person or on TV.
So you win $1 million, but you can't spend it. You just get to look at it and just say you're a millionaire, but you can't even pay rent with it. No, that's stupid. I hate that. I'm watching the games if we're good.
Yeah.
I would rather be bad and get to watch the games than be good and not get to watch us be good. Because then what's the point of being good? Sure, good for everybody else getting to watch, but if I can't watch, then I'm selfish. No, I want to watch.
Yeah. I agree with that. But as far as Matthew's would you rather, I think I would actually go with being good at the major sports, like being good in all of them, very good.
Sure.
Ultimately
he did say pretty good.
Yeah, pretty good.
You said making a bowl game, but not anything special.
Like a half step down from very good.
Well, it depends. Like, if we're talking like just six wins making a bowl game, and that's pretty good, no.
Oh, God, no. That would be hell.
But like 8 or 9 wins a year for football, then you have basketball, you're making sweet 16s every year.
I would say 8 wins would be good in football. I think once you start cracking 9, you're...
8 wins is good. 10 is great. You have that 9 buffer.
Okay.
So yeah, I would say, yeah, you're, right. You're correct. Yeah,
then,
we're
then basketball Sweet 16s.
I don't think you can give a Sweet 16s because we're where we are now and we haven't been to a Sweet 16.
That's Sweet 16s every now and then. We get a Sweet 16 every now and then.
Okay, that's fair.
And then baseball would be just making college football, college baseball regional super region, World Series regional super regionals. I think I would actually rather have that because then I would be willing to watch every year.
But that's such a tease.
Round.
That's such a tease. Because, A, you know you're never going to win. So that does take a little bit of the thrill of watching the games in general out of it if we are in that type of hypothetical. If you don't know you're not going to win, then I can understand where you're coming from. But if you know you're not going to win the Natty and you're just going to go, then it takes that little fun out of it.
I mean, that's the way it is now.
Yeah, but
I sit here and watch
Tennessee
and know we're not going to win the Natty.
But there's still just a little bit of a chance.
Yeah, I mean, there's a little bit of, you don't know.
Like,
you
know.
It happened.
Like,
just float around the back of your mind.
We know, but there's still chance. Like, there's still chance. But in this scenario, you know.
So I'm watching games. I'm watching games as if Tennessee has an NCAA death penalty to where if they ever within reach of an NCAA or of a national championship, the NCAA is just going to pull them and put some other team in.
Yeah. Yeah. 100%. That is this. You can't crack through. That would not be pretty good. You cannot crack through ever.
I don't know.
It's just such a tease.
I would rather have like good teams to watch year round than one specific team. But if I had to choose on the flip side, if I had to choose one sport to be elite at, I would choose basketball. I just don't get too much into college baseball enough to where I would really, really care. And then football, honestly, like,
college baseball is so hard to get into because I don't want to say all the good prospects, but like most of the guys who are those top guys are normally going to the draft and taking their draftings, right?
Yeah. Yeah. And honestly, I don't know if it's just, you know, being from the Northeast. Like, I just can't. I would take more pleasure in being really good at basketball and like contending for national championships and going through the tournament than being really good at football and going to college football playoffs.
Especially since college basketball is one of the hardest things to win a national championship in. You got to beat out 64 teams for it.
Exactly.
So
and more games, too, to watch.
Exactly. I can agree with that. I was about to say something, and I forgot it. That's not good for radio. That's really going to bother me.
That's okay.
Sorry, we kind of need to go to break.
Yeah, no, we're going to go to break. I was going to say it right before we break. I thought it was going to hit me. I apologize. It's not going to hit me.
Just say it.
We'll be right back. I don't think I'm going to remember it. That's why I was waiting for those 2 seconds.
Okay.
But we'll be right back.
Everybody forget what he said.
Birthday's next. For the birthday game. It's time for the birthday game. It's time for the birthday game. It's time for the birthday game.
Time for the birthday game.
Tugger, take us away for the birthday game, please.
All right. Welcome into the birthday game. We got a few birthdays lined up here for you guys. All three playing? Everybody
yes,
playing?
Yeah, everyone's playing.
Why do you sound like Ernie from Sesame Street?
I don't know, Bert.
Why do you look like Bert?
I don't know, Bert.
Okay, so it's a birthday game. It's whatever. It's people's birthdays. Happy birthday to
Happy birthday.
Happy birthday to these beautiful people. But yeah, we'll just get started. True. I have an even number of birthdays today. So
I just like to go ahead and say I know it's Batty B's birthday. Don't do hers. I think we established that already. It's
yes.
Batty B's birthday.
It is Batty B's birthday, the famous TikToker, as everyone knows. But yeah, there's only like 6 birthdays today. They're not real good, but I can try to find some this days if we run out of time.
Speaking of six, the Nationals just beat the Braves.
You're
going to
pull up this day? No, I'm doing birthdays. Let me pull them up.
I already looked at this day's mysteries for trivia.
Okay.
Of course you did.
But we're going to keep it rolling. This person is an Aries, which I assume everyone for the next month or so will be.
Sure.
Born April 6th today in 1969.
Nice.
52 years old today. Movie actor born in Passaic, New Jersey. Did I say that right? You ever heard of that place?
Mm-hmm.
Passaic?
Been to Passaic.
Okay. This guy's from there. It's a comedy actor. Played prominent roles in the films Clueless, The 40-Year-Old Virgin, I Love You, Man.
Seth Rogen?
Anchorman.
Steve Carell.
Steve Carell.
Nope.
Bill Hader.
He had a recurring role as a character, Mike, on the popular NBC sitcom Friends.
Oh, Paul Rudd.
It is Paul Rudd. I don't know who. I don't know. I think it might have been Folky.
I'll give it to him.
Maybe. I don't know.
We'll say it louder.
I did say
it
louder.
But I think I heard Folky say Rudd first. But I don't know.
I was snapping. I couldn't
tell
his name.
Saw it on Twitter today. Completely forgot. Yeah.
I left off Ant-Man because he is Ant-Man.
Not small.
Yeah. That's yeah.
Paul Rudd's one of my favorite.
He's a fantastic
people.
Actor.
I love
he's
Paul
very
Rudd.
Cool. Yeah. Good guy.
You ever seen him in what's his face?
Jason Segel just absolutely blitzed during an interview?
No.
No.
One of the funniest interviews of all time.
Oh, Paul Rudd's a Chiefs fan. I'm a big fan of that.
Yeah, he was chiefing during that interview.
Haha. 46 years old today, Aries, like I said. Born in another New Jerseyan. South Orange, New Jersey. Born in 1975, 46 years old today. I don't know if I said that or not. TV actor.
How old is he?
46. Let's see. I'm trying to not say apparently, poor guy. I think that's all he's done some stuff. Best known for his role as Dr. John Dorian on the television show Scrubs.
Oh!
In 2014.
Zach Braff?
It is Zach Braff.
Wow. That makes me upset. I love that, sir.
JD. Yeah, Scrubs rocks. Very good.
He really has not done anything since
Scrubs.
Yeah,
I was like, maybe he's... I was like, man, poor guy. I bet he made a decent amount of money off Scrubs, though. Okay, I'm going to test you guys. This leans heavily towards Mr. Fulkerson. I don't believe you. You may pull it. You're not from here. You're a northerner. I don't know if you'll pull this one. He died in April 6th on this. He died on his birthday? Bummer. Died on his birthday, April 6th in 2016 at the age of 79. Born in 1937. Country singer.
Joe Duffy?
No. Country singer. Joe legend. Duffy.
Is it Joe Diffie?
It is not Joe Diffie.
Okay.
The name is Joe Diffie.
My bad. I wanted to make sure I got credit for it if it was him.
Joe Duffy, I believe, is a UFC fighter.
Sure. I was thinking Duff Beer.
Yeah. Yeah, they are the same person.
Charlie Daniels?
It is not Charlie Daniels. I'm trying to...
Wait, what year did you say?
2016.
I clicked an ad on the stupid...
You got to know when to hold him and when to hold him, when to walk away and when to run.
Is that him?
His country singer, it was Oki from Muskogee.
Kenny Rogers.
No. You were right on that was the song, but it's not him.
I know. Yeah. I just had to say the name because I sang the song.
I'm trying to think of more.
Merle Haggard?
It is Merle Haggard.
I was just thinking about another. Yeah, I was just thinking of old country stars. My next one was going to be Hank Aaron. Nope. Hank Williams.
Hank
Williams.
The country singer. Hank Aaron.
Hank Williams.
Hank Aaron did die.
He did pass away recently.
RIP. Mm-hmm. Legend. Aries. Again. 84 years old today. Birthplace, New York.
Is it 34?
84.
Gotcha.
Little 50 years older than that.
Gotcha.
Born on April 6, 1937. Movie actor. Hugely famous. Played
Sir Anthony Hopkins?
No. Played Lando Calrissian in the Star Wars Episode 5 and Wars Episode 6. He has appeared in numerous films.
Samuel L. Jackson?
Nope. Samuel L.
Jackson.
That
was a terrible guess.
Woo! 84.
Yeah, it was a terrible guess.
He has appeared in numerous films during his career, including Nighthawks, Undercover Brother, Batman, and Prince.
Last name is Williams, right?
Maybe. He starred as a football player, Gale Sayers, in Brian's
Carl Williams?
Song. Nope. Carl Williams. Who was Carl Williams?
I just combined with these two guys.
Okay. No.
Because he said Carl and seemed confident, and
incorrect.
He said Williams.
I was thinking Carl Weathers, which is very incorrect.
It is not. But I get the...
No, it's...
They kind of look similar, mm-hmm. I think.
Jim Williams?
Nope.
Williams?
He's a three-name person. I'll give you that hint.
Tommy Lee Williams?
No.
Who am I thinking of? There's a Tommy Lee somewhere.
Has he been anything else?
God, I mean, I really only know him as Lando, but he might be. I'll give you BDW. Anything?
No.
Do you guys... know anything about
my eyes have been closed and I haven't seen any of the Star Wars.
I'm going to guess his last name is Williams.
Okay.
For half a point.
Sure.
Brandon Dawson Williams, final answer.
No.
What is it?
It's Billy D. Williams.
I was about to say that, but I was like, I think that's wrong.
Billy D.
He's been in a ton. He's been in a ton of movies.
Yeah. No, I looked up played Lando, 2 weeks ago because I was like, what's that actor's name?
What Will did, I always... switch him with Carl Weathers. Really bad.
Mm-hmm. I love Carl Weathers.
Yeah.
He was fantastic in Arrested Development.
He was really good in Arrested Development. Okay, here you go, Alex and Will. Sorry, Folky. 28 years old, Aries again.
Basketball.
LA, California. Basketball player. Born in 1993 on April 6th today. Basketball player. He was a second-round selection of the Detroit Pistons in the 2014 NBA Draft.
Blake Griffin. Grant?
No. Who began finding his footing in the league with the Brooklyn Nets during the 2017-2018 campaign. He
Joe Harris.
Nope. He prominently plays the point guard position.
D'Angelo Russell.
Nope. He was a first-team All-Pac-12 selection as a member of the University of Colorado Buffaloes.
Spencer Dinwiddie.
It is Spencer Dinwiddie.
I couldn't think of his first name. I had Dinwiddie, but I didn't want to say Dinwiddie and not get the first name.
Yeah.
He's a good follow on Twitter if you don't follow Spencer Dinwiddie.
I do not follow him on Twitter.
Yeah, he trolls Knicks fans.
Oh, does he?
That's why he's a good follow on Twitter.
That's kind of funny.
When you're number one in the East, you get to do what you want.
There's no need to kick a man while they're down.
I wouldn't consider them men.
Okay, one quick. Aries, 42 years old, born in Tennessee, April 6, 1979, journalist, sports journalist, writer, and he works for...
Paul Feinbaum!
Nope, he's from Tennessee, and he recently partnered up with Fox Sports Knoxville.
Clay Travis?
It is Clay Travis.
Oh. Okay.
That was the last birthday.
Happy birthday, Clay.
Happy birthday, Clay Travis.
We'll be back tomorrow.
All right.
See you, fellas.
Cool. We love you guys.